So what does Vimalakirti represent here? It's quite easy, I think, to see what he represents. But it's not so very easy to put it into words. We could say that Vimalakirti represents truth or reality itself, devoid of all concepts. And that will do, provided we don't take it too literally, provided we don't let the phrases roll off our tongue too glibly. We could say that Vimalakirti represents the enlightenment experience itself. And what is it that happens when our partial spiritual experiences are brought in contact with truth or reality itself? What is it that happens when the means to enlightenment are brought in contact with the enlightenment experience itself? What happens when our doctrines, our institutions, our rules are brought into contact with it? What happens is that their limitations are revealed. And this can be a very painful experience. Indeed, it can be a very traumatic experience. Painful, that is to say, traumatic, that is to say, for those who identify themselves with their own partial spiritual experiences, who derive, in fact, their emotional security from them, from that identification, because it means that their own limitations are revealed. And this can be a very shattering experience. So Vimalakirti is like a high-voltage current of electricity. You touch him at your peril, except, of course, that you don't touch him. He comes along and touches you. In more traditional terms, Vimalakirti is like a great Vajra. That is to say, a great thunderbolt, a great diamond. He is powerful. He is incisive. At the same time, he is brilliant and scintillating. He bursts through all your defenses, all your limitations. He destroys what you are, so that you are free to become what you can be. I'm reminded at this point of a film I saw some years ago. This might help to give us a little illustration. The film, I think it was Pasolini's Theorem. Some of you, some of our older friends perhaps, may remember it. In this film, as far as I can remember, my recollection may not be perfectly correct, a young salesman, in fact, a rather attractive young salesman, spends the weekend with a middle-class Italian family. It's an Italian film, of course. So. It seems, it transpires, that he has some business with the father of the family, who apparently is the head of some industrial firm or industrial project or other. And the family consists of father, mother, grown-up son, grown-up daughter, and not-so-young maid servant. Now, in the course of the weekend, the young man manages to have affairs with all of them. And the rest of the film shows the results of their contact with him. The mother becomes a nymphomaniac. The daughter has a nervous breakdown. You see her being taken away in an ambulance, a large white ambulance, to a mental hospital. The son, who is an artist, destroys all his paintings. The maidservant becomes a nun and works miracles. In the last scene, the father is shown walking through a crowded railway station, slowly taking off all his clothes. The critics I remember, had quite a gala time discussing the meaning of this film, especially what the young man represented. Some said that he was a sort of Christ figure. Others, that he symbolized reality. And some said that they thought he was just being himself. So you can take your choice. But whatever that choice may be, there's no doubt that the impact of reality in any form has a shattering, has a devastating effect on our lives. And this is what we find happening in these two chapters of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. It's happening, of course, much more positively than it happened apparently in the film, and happening on a very much higher level. But the result is that the disciple or the bodhisattva concerned is left dumbfounded, we're told. And Thurman, the American translator, has an interesting comment here. He says, he, that is to say the disciple or bodhisattva, is overwhelmed and speechless, yet intuitively recognized the rightness of Vimalakirti's strictures. He can neither accept them and put them into practice, nor reject them outright. So this is very significant. He can neither accept them and put them into practice, nor reject them outright. And this is, perhaps, very much our own experience sometimes on our own level of development. Perhaps our Kalyana Mitra, our good friend, our spiritual friend, tells us something about ourselves, something we had not noticed before. Or perhaps it's something about the Dharma. So, what is our initial reaction to this new knowledge, this revelation, as it were? We feel stunned. We feel stupefied. We are forced to recognize the truth of what has been said, but we're quite unable to do anything about it, because it takes time to adjust to the new knowledge. It takes time to get used to it. It takes time for us to start putting it into practice. So it's not surprising that the disciples and bodhisattvas are reluctant to meet Vimalakirti. It's not surprising that they are not very keen on going. It's not surprising, we may say, that the partial experience should be reluctant to encounter the total experience. It's not surprising that the means to enlightenment should be reluctant to encounter enlightenment itself. The experience is too painful, too traumatic. But we should be on our guard against a possible misunderstanding here. The experience may be painful, may even be traumatic, but it's not a negative thing. In fact, it's a highly positive thing. The purpose of Vimalakirti's strictures is not to humiliate the disciples or bodhisattvas. He's not just putting them down, as we say. His purpose, his deep, ultimate purpose, is to help them to grow. His purpose is to help them to move on from their present partial experience, from their present relatively limited outlook. And I say relatively limited, because after all, they are arahats and bodhisattvas. In the same way, the purpose of the transcendental critique of religion is not to destroy religion. Its purpose rather is to restore religion, to restore it to its true function, its function of being a means to an end. That means being, of course, always the spiritual development of the individual. All that is destroyed is religion as an end in itself.